Chapter 20. The Promotion of Wicca. What do we know so far about the big picture with witchcraft? The definition of Wicca is witchcraft, which is a practice that started at the same time as other occult behavior that originated during the building of the Tower of Babel. God condemned it and confused the language as judgment for it. Since that time, which was a couple hundred years after God's worldwide flood judgment, witchcraft and other occult practices have spread like sewage pipes of evil behavior, distributing filth all over the world. The only protection from witchcraft comes through belief and trust in Jesus' work on the cross. We saw that European witchcraft is what gave rise to most of those occult practices America must deal with today through the rise of Wicca witchcraft. In the last few chapters, we've been cataloging Wicca's beliefs, symbols, and practices. Because God loves people, throughout the Old and New Testaments, He clearly condemns the practices of Wicca witchcraft. His warnings are all over the Bible about not getting involved with the occult because it is all demonic, so it will lead us astray. Like God, we need to love people enough to speak out about it. If you saw that someone was about to be hit by a car, would you tell them? Or would you not want to lower their self-esteem by pointing out their issue? Would you not get involved and just smile and wave at them? Of course not. You would say something, right? Well, God loves people and understands the damage that happens to them if they get involved with witchcraft. In fact, those going down that route are fooling around in the middle of a busy freeway. They are playing with fire and are headed toward eternal flames. It is all demonic, and if we love people as Jesus does, it's just as crucial for us to speak up as if they are sleeping in a burning building. Over the last couple chapters, we found out about Wiccan practices like all different forms of divination. We saw how the Wiccan calendar or wheel of the year dictates the witchcraft rituals throughout their calendar year, which starts with Samhain, Halloween. In the last chapter, we took a look at their rituals, including how they get together as part of their belief in the law of attraction. They do the ritual so they can get what they want. It's this same belief and practice we see from the Word of Faith false preachers in the charismatic part of the church. And it is straight out of witchcraft. That is why we spent the better part of a year studying the charismatics and the resulting warning against it, in our study called Charismatic Chaos. As we learned, a Wiccan's first step during their rituals is purification with things like incense and their smudging prayers. Hey, who else does that? It's no shocker that Catholicism uses incense too. Also, like Roman Catholicism, the next witchcraft ritual step is to build an altar at home or outside. It seems this sort of similarity between paganism and Catholic practices keeps showing up. Another part of witch rituals is to draw a circle, get in it, and start an invocation, asking the supposed deities, demons, like the goddess, for whatever the witch wants. Who else is taught to pray to dead people for stuff? Catholics are told to ask dead saints for what Catholics want. Next with their rituals, witches start performing their spells and ringing those bells. Does any other religion's practice include bells as part of their Sunday rituals? Catholicism does. That whole pattern is interesting. Witches finish their rituals with offering of cakes and ale to their deities for granting witches what they want. Catholicism does the same with offerings to the Virgin Mary, who they call the Queen of Heaven. That name for the pagans' goddess is the same one mentioned in the Old Testament's Jeremiah. Catholicism has used the person of Jesus' mother Mary and turned the idea of her into the pagan goddess they worship. So, it's no wonder that their rituals are also carbon copies of occult practices, and we know that Catholicism even organized their calendar around the pagan year with ritual holidays like Halloween, the pagan Samhain, Easter, the pagan Ostara, and Christ Mass, the pagan Yule. Here's my point from all that: Catholicism, witchcraft, and the rest of the occult get away with these practices because Christians are silent about it and most people don't know anything about the numerous warnings God gave against the occult and its witchcraft. God speaks about it over and over and over throughout the entire Bible. However, the church is paying no attention, so practitioners of these evil deeds and behaviors just keep getting away with it. And that is part of the reason that these are the days God talked about as being the last days, where we would see a major rise of witchcraft. Let's take a look at that one more Bible passage about that. This one comes from Revelation 9 and it concerns what will happen during the seven-year tribulation. This is going to tell us how bad society is going to be during God's trumpet judgments against the stiff-necked people of earth. Revelation tells us this wrath from God will begin with the seal judgments, then the trumpet judgments, and finally the bowl judgments toward the end.
Revelation 9:20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands, they did not stop worshipping demons.
Wait, that says we will have a society where people will worship demons instead of their creator. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood. Isn't that exactly what we've seen with witches worshipping figurines, just like Catholicism does? They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders. Hey, if you're going to worship demons, what do demons do? They are liars and murderers like their father the devil. Because of that, witchcraft and other occult practices are not just sacrificing herbs to their demons and Satan. They sacrifice animals, as well as people. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality or their thefts. In the Greek, Revelation's word for the magic arts is pharmakia, which is where we get our English word, pharmacy. So, it certainly implies drug usage and, of course, that is something we see going through the roof. Drugs are important in the occult as a turbocharged way to get witches and other occultists, as well as New Agers, into an altered state of consciousness so they can commune with demons. Revelation is specifically talking about the dark arts fostered by drug usage. Some translations of the magic arts, or pharmakia, will have it as sorcery or witchcraft because that's drug use with the dark arts. But God tells us what to expect in the last days society leading up to the seven-year tribulation. It will get so bad that we will see a massive global increase in witchcraft and other occult sorcery. Has this study given us signs of that? Yes. Like mine, I am sure your mind has been open to just how pervasive this evil has gotten all over our planet today. It blew my mind learning about the history of witchcraft growing worldwide since the Tower of Babel. But these days, it has gotten so bad that we are literally fulfilling Revelation 9's description of the last days leading up to the seven-year tribulation. I think two things have been happening with our world today. First, we have seen a massive promotion of Wicca witchcraft. When we were growing up, if you wanted to learn something about the dark arts, there was no internet. They didn't promote it like they do now on television and in much of our media. People would have to go into a dark back alley to contact some seedy character in a dingy bookstore. That was the average occultist hangout back in the day. Or someone might introduce you to their secret stash of occult material kept hidden at their house. But not anymore. It is everywhere. It is being promoted on a scale that just blows me away. We are going to talk about that here, but that's only half of the reason it is increasing on a massive scale. The other is because those in the church today are keeping their mouths shut. That's allowing Wicca to rise with almost no hindrance. And those ignoring the issue, whether churches, pastors, or whoever, are fulfilling another prophecy that God said would come upon us in the last days. That biblical prophetic warning from God is in 2 Timothy 4. Again, besides the huge worldwide promotion of witchcraft these days, the Christian church is absent from the battle against these practices. Both of those have contributed to the rise that is talked about by God for these last days. Instead of equipping us on this crucial issue that God repeatedly warned us about, churches are busy playing funny reindeer games for their audience, keeping the show going. Churches have people attending, but since they're not teaching from God's word, they have to give the congregation something. So, what are they teaching instead? Well, God called this out 2,000 years ago with Paul's excellent instructions for young Pastor Timothy.
2 Timothy 4:1-5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word.
Is Paul telling Timothy to pick and choose from God's word and preach whatever he'd like from the Bible? Did he tell Timothy to skip around in it? Did he say to leave out the third that covers Bible prophecy? Besides chopping out prophecy, churches today have also stopped talking about sin, hell and repentance. So, that takes a bunch of passages away too. Pretty soon all that's left is the biblical table of weights and measures. Is that what Paul is suggesting for young Timothy to preach about? No. He said to preach the word, which means all of it. And we are not to preach only those parts that people are going to like. Paul continues.
Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage.
Whoa. Aren't we just supposed to preach pleasantries because it's nice to encourage others? No. According to that last sentence, it looks like two-thirds of the time should be correcting and rebuking. The people should be squirming in their seats as they are corrected and rebuked by God's word in the Bible. If you are at a church where you never felt corrected or rebuked, someone is not teaching the Bible. Think about that. In quoting from the Bible, if all you ever get is encouraged, someone is skipping by two-thirds of the scripture, and that is not a faithful preacher, teacher, Sunday school helper, or whoever it is.
Correct, rebuke and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
Notice that the problem is not just the hireling shepherds who don't give a rip about their congregations, the ones that won't preach the word. Even before them, who is taking the initiative to put that shepherd up in front so he can sell out? The church is. There are two reasons this problem has festered to the point of a massive issue in the church. Besides fluff preachers doing their thing, first it is the churches that will only hire that type of guy. So, even if a pastor is faithful to preach the whole word in season and out, the people of the church do not want him. They will not hire him, and if they do hire someone who later gets corrected, rebuked, and convicted by God to start preaching the whole word, they will fire him. I have stories of that. But a preacher who is not giving God's word still has to keep the show going, so what does he do? Here is what Paul said would happen in our day and what he told Timothy to do as a preacher of God's entire word.
They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But, Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Pastors are to preach the word and share the gospel. Notice that it is not one or the other. A pastor is not to make excuses, saying he doesn't have the gift for either one or the other. We are to preach the word and evangelize. Those are not mutually exclusive tasks. Pastors do not pick one and then exclude the other. And the reason a pastor preaches the word is so the church, the saints, can also be equipped to evangelize. Now, let's break that passage down. Itching comes from the Greek word, netho, which means to desire only that which is pleasant. The Greek word, mathos, means stories made up. Putting those together, we get pleasant stories that have been fabricated. And Revelation tells us that is how we'll know we're living in the last days. It's when we begin seeing a rise of the occult with its witchcraft and sorcery. And another sign is when church services give people only pleasant stories that have been made up. Today, I would guess, that describes about 95% of the so-called American church. Unfortunately, in a very negative way, today's church is fulfilling this Bible prophecy. And here's my whole point in bringing that up: the occult is getting away with what they've been able to accomplish on a massive scale, and Catholicism keeps performing pagan witchcraft rituals with no one calling them on it. This is because 95% of today's churches are not preaching God's word, even though God warned them that this was coming in the last days. We are living His prophecy, live today, with the occult thriving because pastors are not feeding their people the word of God. But again, the problem is not just fluff preachers. The people hiring them are the ones who only want to hear pleasant and invented stories. In other words, they want just feel good, fluffy talk from the pulpit, and I want to give you an example of that so you can see how far it's gone. The people take the initiative. And these days they are craving pleasantries instead of God's word. According to 95% of today's church, my estimate, we here at Sunrise Bible Church have it all wrong when we teach all the Bible. Yet, pastors warn that we better not talk about sin because people will stop coming to our church services and paying attention to our messages online. They say our funds to do ministry will plunge and soon will go belly up. They say we cannot do that because it's no longer the way to do church. Well, first of all, we Christians don't do church. We are the church. This is not a business. We do not just spit out money-making products, and each individual person is not someone to throw on our pile of people like another notch on a pastor's belt. This Christian life is not about money, it is about God's truth. Eternal lives are on the line, and getting people equipped to make a difference in our society for Christ. The truth is what sets people free. But that 95% of today's prophetically anticipated, last days church, tells us that this is all just a game that we're not playing right. We have it all wrong with our Bible church being focused on the Bible. We don't need the convicting word of God anymore. And it is because we are higher-minded these days. What the world supposedly needs now are daily nightstand or bathroom messages to play while getting ready for work. What we really have to have in our life is Pastor Joel Osteen's inspirational cube. When I first saw what I'm going to give you with this video transcript, I honestly thought it was just a parody. But it's an actual commercial that advertises a product being sold right now. Here's that shameful sales pitch.
Narrator of the commercial. In today's uncertain times, life can feel overwhelming and leave you struggling for answers. But you can overcome life's challenges, wake up every morning inspired and looking forward to each day. Introducing the Inspiration Cube, the easy-to-use portable audio system filled with life-changing messages of hope, guidance, and strength from Joel Osteen, one of the world's most inspiring spiritual leaders. Joel Osteen, you may feel, today, like you're trapped. That is not how your story ends. Some dreams are waking up. Hope is waking up. Abundance is waking up. Narrator, with the simple push of a button, remove those negative thoughts with a new message to inspire your day. Osteen, God is saying to you, you have struggled long enough. Unexpected blessings are coming your way. Narrator, over 400 of Joel's greatest inspirations ever assembled, all on this easy-to-use audio listening cube. A man gives his testimonial for the product, it's all positive. It's not negative. Our lives have changed completely. Narrator, start each day with just a touch and sit back for a powerful message of hope, guidance, and inspiration. Osteen, the forces that are for you are greater than the forces that are against you. Another testimonial for the cube, it makes you really energized. God is in control of your life and boy, have I seen blessings. He put the hope in my heart. Narrator, refuse the negative thoughts that prevent you from reaching your goals and take back control. Osteen, you can't think negative thoughts and live a positive life. If you'll get your mind going in the right direction, your life will go in the right direction. Third product testimonial, it was almost like a friend was speaking to me. I'm at peace. My victory is already accounted for. Narrator's wrap-up, the Inspiration Cube, filled with the best of the best from Joel Osteen for the ultimate collection of the most powerful daily inspirations ever assembled.
Last time I checked, the Bible is the most powerful daily inspiration ever assembled. But that gives us an idea of how bad it has become. What really got me about that is how the King of Fluff is encouraging people to turn to an electronic cube of pleasantries, Netho, instead of the Bible. That 2 Timothy passage exactly parallels what we see going on right now. But again, my point in bringing all this up is to show how 2,000 years ago, Revelation 9 predicted exactly what we see today with the rise of Wicca, witchcraft, and the rest of the occult. The Bible warned that the occult would be bursting out on a global basis like we could never imagine and that it would take us down the dark road toward the 7-year tribulation, the worst time in the history of mankind. It will be so bad that people are going to actually worship demons over God and even continue that while God's wrath is being poured out on this planet. And why is it happening? Two reasons: today's church is keeping its mouth shut about the occult and not teaching the whole Bible. Instead, they are encouraging their followers to pass around the Inspiration Cube. On top of that, societies around the world are seeing the promotion of witchcraft and other occult practices on a massive scale. The promotion of witchcraft is pervasive in our lives today and the church seems completely unprepared to deal with it. Those two factors are why the number of people participating in occult practices is exploding. Most of the entire church community is keeping their mouths shut while the world is going nuts promoting the occult. And those promoters know exactly what they are doing. So I want to expose how they are encouraging everyone to get involved with witchcraft and other occult practices. First, let's recap some of the ways we've seen that these horrible destructive practices are being promoted. One way is through feminism that is a smokescreen to get our ladies involved with witchcraft. Another of today's promoters is at least one of our two huge political machines, the Democrat Party, which has been infested with witchcraft and the occult. Examples of witchcraft in the Democrat Party can be seen clearly with recent efforts within the party that include the BLM movement led by witches and a practicing witch running for their presidential nomination in 2020. Another pervasive promotion of witchcraft in our society today is something we talked about briefly, but I haven't shown you much proof yet. That is the environmental movement, which is just another smokescreen to get people involved with Mother Goddess worship that comes straight out of pagan witchcraft. Instead of the true Father God in heaven, they worship his creation, the earth. They worship Mother Earth and tell us we all need to save her. We must listen to the voice of the earth, but that directive from witches and other pagans is the same violation of God's word that we see with those people talked about in Romans 1:18, where God's wrath was being poured out from heaven because people had the audacity to worship created things instead of their creator, who is to be praised forever. Last time I checked, the earth is a created thing and God is its creator, so it is just crazy what these environmentalists are trying to get away with in their promotion of the occult. Here are some examples of how the environmental movement is really a smokescreen to get people into earth worship of the Mother Goddess.
Reporter: Mr. Coburn, why should we care about Earth Day or Mother Earth? Actor: James Coburn. Well, Mother Earth is your mother. She's the mother goddess. She's the one that we should be praising, rather than raping. Pointing at a large gathering of people outdoors, I mean, all these people here today are here for one reason, because they are concerned about what's happening, what mankind is doing to the Earth. I mean, the negative emotion we carry around, a lot of us, is another contributor here. What we must do is be true to ourselves. If we are true to ourselves and true to Mother Earth, Mother Earth is going to be bountiful. She is going to give us everything we need. She has for a long time. We have lost our way. The pagans used to know how to do it. And the Indians, some of them still remember how to do it. The Earth is a living organism. We're killing the one we love the most and she loves us. We've got to praise our Mother Goddess. Switch to news anchor, Tom Brokaw. And back in this country, there is a provocative and timely question in the debate over the energy policy: what would Jesus drive? This is the centerpiece of a new energy conservation campaign, but some say the gospel has no place in the debate over gasoline. Here's NBC's Don Teague. Part of a television ad campaign? God saw that it was good. Reporter, Don Teague. As TV ad campaigns go, this is something different. The ad campaign continues. Yet too many of the cars, trucks, and SUVs that are made, that we choose to drive, are polluting our air. Teague continues. Not because it carries an environmental message, but because of the audience it targets. Commercial. So, if we love our neighbor and we cherish God's creation, maybe we should ask, what would Jesus drive? Switch to news anchor, Bill Hemmer, reacting to the commercial. What would Jesus drive, huh? Environmental evangelism. It is the new way to raise awareness about global warming. Our Fox Religion correspondent, Lauren Green, joins us with more on that. Hemmer to Lauren Green. Good morning. Who's pushing green, Lauren? Green. Hey, well, a lot of people, and it really is across the board, theoretically speaking, or religiously speaking. Here are the top green religious people, according to Live Earth. We've got Reverend Joel Hunter. He is the senior pastor at Northland Church in Longwood, Florida. He actually was offered the head of the Christian Coalition but turned it down because he wanted to focus on issues like poverty and environmental protection. Norman Hobble is a theology professor out of Australia. He edited something called the Earth Bible. Then, of course, there's Pope Benedict XVI, and yesterday he issued a statement that said, "The people of faith must listen to the voice of the earth or risk destroying its very existence." We also have the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, head of the Anglican Church, and, of course, the Buddhist leader, the Dalai Lama. The one thing you should add to this list is the National Evangelical Association, because 2 years ago it issued a letter to 50,000 members of its churches, which means it's 30 million evangelicals, saying that, "We affirm that God-given dominion is a sacred responsibility and that government has an obligation to protect its citizens from the effects of environmental degradation." So, it is a big movement all across the board. Children singing an environmental pledge. I pledge allegiance to the earth, to care for land and sea and air, to cherish every living thing with peace and justice everywhere. I pledge allegiance to the earth, to care for land and sea and air, to cherish every living thing with peace and justice everywhere. I pledge allegiance to the earth, to care for land and sea and air, to cherish every living thing with peace and justice everywhere, with peace and justice everywhere.
Instead of teaching our children to honor, love, and worship their Creator, their true loving Father in heaven who put them here, these environmentalists are teaching our little kids to pledge their allegiance to rocks, dirt and trees, the earth. Also, did you notice that the so-called evangelical leaders representing tens of millions of evangelical Christians are not pushing for a highfalutin campaign that promotes the Bible? Instead, they want to work toward control of God's climate that he can't seem to handle. Has God just lost control of the earth's weather? Those sorts of promotions by the environmental movement are just more earth worship. What you read was a classic and dated message from James Coburn, who died in 2002 and hopefully knew Jesus Christ before he left this earth. But back when he said those things, he was promoting the same sort of Earth Day ideas that teach people to praise the Mother Goddess. The environmental movement is just another smokescreen to pull people into witchcraft with its goddess worship. They turn God's created Earth into some supposedly holy entity, Gaia, that they claim we all came from. But it is just the same pagan deity that occultists have been worshipping for thousands of years. And this time the church is going along with it, just as Catholicism did when they jumped on board with paganism long, long ago. Still, how could the Christian church go along with all that? Well, many stopped teaching the Bible. Instead, they and their people crave things like the inspirational cube that will only give them pleasant thoughts. Hey, why not just cut out that annoying talk about sin and hell, right? And don't mention Bible prophecy or occult witchcraft, because those are going to freak people out. Let's just discuss how we can all hold hands, working together to separate the recyclables into their appropriate bins. We can save the planet. But no matter what we do, no one is going to save the Earth. Wait until you see what God is going to do with our world during the soon arriving 7-year tribulation. It will be trashed. What a waste of time while more and more people are dying each day without knowing Jesus. Yet even Christians are signing on to this distraction and away from the true God. Even in our schools, the environmentalists have been able to slither in to lead our kids toward earth worship. That brings us to another area of our society that is promoting witchcraft. Hey, kids, go green. The green movement is just the same environmental movement that wants us to be one big earth worshiping family. You already saw the video transcript about this kind of thing, but now I want to share what is currently being taught in our secular schools. Notice that I emphasize secular. What is the solution to that major problem facing you and your child's entire life? It rhymes with homeschool. Can you guess? Yes, it's homeschool. Get your kids away from the secular sewer pipe you are feeding them through secular education. The place that you send them is brainwashing your children daily. And unfortunately, 95% of the churches today aren't going to fix that with fluff preachers, not to mention that church only gets the kids for a fraction of the time those secular indoctrination schools do. And those in charge of that globalist system even let us know they are preparing the kids for a new world order that the Bible warns us about. The Bible says dark forces will push for control of humanity through a one-world government and one-world religion. And the globalists are not even hiding from that term anymore. They think your kid belongs to them and that you have no right to build Christian morals into them. It is their job to teach them what kind of character to have, and that will be based on the disastrous philosophy of moral relativism, which they are implanting in our children through secular public schools. Why do you think the Democrats have fought so hard against school vouchers that would give parents more choice about who shapes their children's morals and character? We have homeschooled our children the whole way but still have had to pay taxes to support a secular education that we do not approve of for anyone's children. That is not right. Families are being punished for exercising their own constitutional right to raise their kids with a godly upbringing. And the globalists are so emboldened they even tell us they want our kids given to them each day so they can properly brainwash them into good communists and socialists that the fascist globalists can better control. As part of that effort, secular schools are now even adding witchcraft to the lessons they are indoctrinating the kids into. You may not believe me, but they've really turned on that occult sewage pipe of instruction in recent years. While many parents are thinking their kids will be just fine because the parents also went through a secular school system and they came out okay, the schools today are not like what you and I went to. So, you cannot rely on that. Get them away from that endless push toward pagan beliefs. Every day in that school, anything goes, do what thou wilt, except for God, Jesus and the Bible. You thought you were sending your kids to get some math and English. Instead, let me give you just a short, verified, list of those subjects currently being taught in our secular indoctrination centers, our public schools, including witchcraft. Daily, our children are learning earth worship, pantheism, evolution, socialized medicine, the benefits of world government, animal rights with animals seen as our brothers and sisters, and redistribution of American wealth to other nations, which is another indication that communists have taken over our educational system. They also get lessons on contraception and other aspects of reproductive health. Why would these globalists want to do that? It's so that our kids will begin thinking sexual thoughts, to start having fornication earlier in life, which is another way they can promote more abortion through their baby murdering mills. We exposed that in great detail with our study, Abortion, the Mass Murder of Children. Another idea the globalists put into our children's heads is debt forgiveness to third world nations. Hey, have we even mentioned arithmetic or English yet? No. When do they have time for that? This is the sewer of ideas being taught to our kids in secular schools, and we are not even done listing all of it yet. Globalists also considered it important for children to adopt the gay rights agenda, transgenderism, and how to become a good Muslim by learning to celebrate the Muslim holidays. That is all being fed to our kids in schools. The latter is something we exposed in our study, Islam, Religion of War or Peace? Other indoctrination includes the elimination of the right to bear arms and setting aside massive amounts of the United States of America for human free zones. also taught to our kids are occult practices like how to get into an altered state of consciousness, astrology, forms of divination, spiritism, magic spells, sorcery, occult charms and symbols, solstice rites, sacred sex, and serpent worship. And on top of that, they are even teaching human sacrifice.
Students are given lessons on death education and lessons to advocate the cultural endorsement of abortion and euthanasia, getting rid of those old folks that are costing the system too much money, as a way to prepare the new generation to accept many forms of sacrifice, such as the notion of sacrificing oneself for the common good.
In our AI invasion study, I'm going to expose that human sacrifice issue that is basically what was seen on the popular 1976 movie, Logan's Run, about people voluntarily self-eliminating, even at a young age. That aspiration of the globalists is being ushered into our world through the programming of our children. And they are the ones who will make those decisions in the future. They are brainwashing kids to think people, including themselves, need to get with the common good and die when their controlling puppet masters tell them to. What does all that have to do with English, math, or spelling? One person said this.
Is this what our children should be learning? Should schools turn children into earth and spirit worshippers? Should parents pay property taxes for public schools to promote pagan religions?
Of course, the answer is no. And what happens behind those doors each day is why the schools often do not like the parents to see all they are teaching. But day after day they continue to get away with it because those in the church are keeping their mouths shut, blocking out the negativity, and just passing the inspiration cue. Press number 27 to learn about being a better you, and number 28 is all about positive thinking. It is no wonder Wicca witchcraft is on the rise. And here is another promoter of it that we already talked a bit about. Wicca and other witchcraft are also being promoted through our very influential music industry. We saw that with our exposure of superstar Beyoncé, who admits being possessed with a demon, Sasha, that gives her special abilities. We also saw that witchcraft crossroads are popular in the blues industry. In fact, a movie called Crossroads came out in 1986, starring Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid. It was based on the idea of musicians selling their souls to the devil to get special musical abilities. That exchange is actually happening with musicians today because the music industry is flooded with occult witchcraft. The practice used to be kept behind the scenes so a person would have to attend a private party to learn the occult practices an artist was involved with. But that was in the past. Today, musicians are flat out using their music as a platform to encourage other musicians and their social media fans to practice witchcraft. They are instructing people on how to get involved in witchcraft. A recent musician doing this is Azalea Banks. Folks, they are not hiding it anymore. The music industry has musicians flat out saying they are witches and encouraging everyone to join them in the practice. Here is the video transcript with an interview of Azalea Banks.
Reporter. Hi, I'm Gabby Bess. I'm headed to Foxgrove Studios to meet with musician Azalea Banks. Recording artist Azalea Banks landed a recording deal at the age of 17. By the age of 20, she shot to fame with her breakout single, 212. Despite her obvious talent, Azalea is well known for controversy. The rapper separated from XL Recordings and then Interscope, all before her debut album, Broke With Expensive Taste, was even released. Infamous for her unabashed opinions and Twitter feuds, which have even spread to our own Broadly correspondence, Azalea Banks is truly an independent artist, whose work deserves a closer look. Bess interviews Banks. Thanks for inviting me to your studio. Banks, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to check me out. Bess. You've tweeted sometimes about witchcraft, like, very cryptically. Do you practice magic? Banks nods. Bess. What are your favorite spells? Banks. The egg spell. You cleanse yourself with an egg, right? Pass the egg all over yourself, praying for all of your negativity to go away into the egg, right? But usually you do it when somebody messes with you to get what the person is doing off of you, crack it in a crossroad, and you walk away, and you don't look back. That stuff works. Bess. When did that start? Banks. My mother practiced white table magic, prayers for the ancestors, and prayers to saints and cleansing and praying for protection and all types of stuff like that, you know. You know, my mother used to be doing, like, all kind of, like, candles and crazy stuff, and then she'd be playing DMX, a rapper, like, while ironing my Catholic school uniform, you know, like, putting my little, like, Bible study book in my book bag and I'm, like, walking out the house, like, mimicking singing rap. Switch to Banks talking to her fans online. Hey guys, it's AB. I'm in the witch cave right now. I just wanted to come here to you in the witch cave today, you know, because I've been talking a lot today, and just wanted to give you guys a real peek at what it's about. The amount of grime that's about to come off my floor right now, guys, oh my god. Banks shows the floor where she does witchcraft, and it is covered in black grime. Banks showing the grime. 3 years worth of brujeria.
As we saw with South American witchcraft, brujeria is just the Spanish word for it. Banks showed her fans the grimy walls and floor with the black and charred remains from 3 years of witchcraft rituals done on her floor. That is what goes on in today's music industry, where people no longer have to get exposed to witchcraft by going to musicians' parties or concerts, because these artists are coming right out to say they are witches. And did you notice how Banks' Catholic upbringing, apparently, merged well with the occult? But hey, if you think that's bad, while all this is going on to supercharge our society deeper and deeper into flourishing witchcraft, what is the church doing? They are passing around the inspiration cube. We all must get the cube. Where is that cube? Can I borrow your cube? Folks, this is nuts. And it is why witchcraft is on a massive rise. Of course, Azalea Banks is not the only witch in music. There is an entire occult movement going on in the music industry. Depictions through their photos, art, and symbols give occult signals. All the occult symbols mean something. Common examples are their triangles and the all-seeing eye of providence that is even on the back of our dollar bill. And occult signaling through the music and movie industry is flooded with the stuff. Yet, parents who do not want to take responsibility will say, "Hey, it's just music. Maybe I don't like it, but my parents didn't like mine. If my child is into it, that's fine. It's no big deal." But more is going on there with your kids than them just liking some music. Let's say I encouraged you to do something like eat chicken. And what if I repeated it over and over in a sing-song way, "Go eat chicken, go eat chicken, go eat chicken." Maybe I'd also throw in a chorus of something like, "Hey, go to KFC and keep feeling cruddy," because that's what it stands for. Hey, go to KFC and keep feeling cruddy. How would that be if I just kept saying that to you or your kid over and over? Or pick a sin and replace the chicken, because you might not consider that one a sin, even though others do. But if I kept hitting you with the same encouragement to commit a certain sin, I'd be acting horribly, right? Let's say somebody encourages you or your child in that way to get involved with sexual immorality. And maybe that person is sitting next to you in the front seat of your car, constantly pushing sexual immorality. What would you do? We would ask them what they were thinking and tell them to shut their mouth, right? But apparently, it is okay if they sing it to me or my child. Folks, those are the lyrics of that music. The musicians are including catchy suggestions that push anti-God, anti-Jesus, and murderous rotten behavior into our kids' brains. Much of it will stay in their heads for months or even years if they really like a song. But somehow that is okay and will not affect our children. That idea is wrong, and the lyrics are consistently getting worse and worse. It's full-blown demonic occult that doesn't just involve the music. These people, who have been made popular through their music, are using that platform in their concerts to push idols and promote witchcraft. And that is just the music industry. Another area of our society promoting this stuff is the media. By media, I mean social media, television, cartoon, books, movies, and all kinds of other media sources these days. We talked about one prominent media promoter of witchcraft, the Harry Potter books and movies. The Harry Potter following is massive and certainly contributing in a big way to the rise of witchcraft. We also talked about Disney's cartoon movies that are said to be about magic but are really promoting witchcraft and other occult practices. As we saw, Disney just grabbed onto the coattails of the Brothers Grimm witchcraft books that presented witchcraft and other occult practices from around the world. Besides those Grimm stories, Disney also found other witchcraft traditions from all over our planet and then glamorized them through cartoons. Disney seems to find every country around the world that has some sort of pagan practice and then popularizes it with us and our kids. In fact, Disney just came out with another cartoon called The Owl House, which is flat-out witchcraft and getting heavy promotion. As we saw before, owls are a prominent aspect of witchcraft. This show is one more of Disney's latest cartoons that promote occult practices to our children, training them to be good little witches like It Is Just a Wonderful Life. They are selling the idea that a child with a messed up home need only practice witchcraft to have a whole new home environment that is spectacular. Here's young Luz, a witch apprentice that is promoting her new cartoon.
Luz, hi, there. I'm Luz Nozada. So, this one day, I found a portal and ended up someplace I could have never imagined.
Okay, well, I totally have imagined it.
Luz is shown in front of a mirror with a witch magazine and she is wishing hard for such a place. The scene switches to the new land she found. Luz, but this is even better. This is the Boiling Isles, a very scully and bony land is shown. It's amazing, the kind of place you just want to wake up to every day and say, good morning, terrifying fantasy world. Seven-eyed sea monster, good morning. Luz, such friendly neighbors. And this is the Owl House, the best place on the Isles. That's Hootie, an owl on the door that can project out like a snake, he is always hanging around. The Owl House is where I live with the King of Demons and Ada, the Owl Lady, the most powerful witch on the Boiling Isles. She is fierce. She is fearless. And someday I'm going to be just like her. Luz puts on a witch apprentice named Tag and shows that she is Ada's number one fan in the Ada fan club. Luz, want to see more of the Isles? Just a short staff ride away is the town of Bonesborough. Is there anything better than people watching in a demon world? The marketplace has the best stuff in town. Luz talks to a centaur, half man, half horse. Luz, there's the library, spell books shown, and Hexide, the most amazing magic school ever. So, that is the Isles. I know sometimes it can seem a little different. King of Demons, her pet, it's very stinky. Ada, her witch mentor, and gross. Luz, but, if you look at it from a different perspective, it looks just like the home.
Hey kids, is your home life messed up? Try witchcraft and create a new home environment for yourself. Of course, they fail to warn about the real demons that might materialize in your bedroom. If you don't think these sorts of media have an effect on kids, wait until you read the last video transcript at the end of this book. It is the true story of a girl who turned to witchcraft because of a television series about witches and a Disney witchcraft movie. Besides Disney, an enormous number of Hollywood movies these days encourage people to get involved in witchcraft. From only the last few years, let me give you just a small fraction of the movies promoting the occult and witchcraft, including one with that Luz character we saw in the new Disney Owl House cartoon series.
Nocturne, The Third Day, Gretel, and Hansel, The Grudge, Black Christmas, Dr. Sleep, Luz, The Flower of Evil, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Fantastic Beasts, There Are a Couple Now, The Burial of Kojo, Helmington, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, We Have Always Lived in the Castle, Hell House, The Winds, Demons of the Prayer, Suspiria, The Devil's Doorway, Primal Rage, The Pledge, The Witch in the Window, Constantine, City of Demons, The Field Guide to Evil, Don't Leave Home, Luz 2, They Remain, Hereditary, Mandy, The Babysitter, Muse, Hagatsusa, The Ritual, Tokyo Vampire Hotel, Mother, Veronica, Death Note, Jackals, Double Date, The Killing of a Sacred Deer, November, Get Out, Brackenmore, The Night of the Virgin, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, The Void, Without Name, The Autopsy of Jane Doe, Rupture, A Dark Song, The Birch, The Neon, Demon, Roar, Darkness, The Wailing, The Girl Without Hands, The Alchemist Cookbook, The Love Witch, Hell House LLC, The Last Witch Hunter, Regression, Southbound, Devil's Candy, The Childhood of a Leader, She Who Must Burn, Embrace the Serpent, Tale of Tales, Ava's Possessions, The Imitation Game, The Circle, The Hollow, Bridgend, and Partisan.
That's just a tiny portion of those from one list online that had 466 total movies from recent years. And I am sure there are a ton more with all the B-movies not on that list. Also, that is just the movies, so it doesn't even account for the huge number of sitcoms and cartoons out there that are also promoting witchcraft and other occult topics. With all that, why are we, as a society, not concerned about the impact on our country? And if that is not bad enough, look at all the other ways witchcraft is getting promoted on social media, streaming channels, and otherwise through the internet. Witches know exactly what they're doing. In fact, another sneaky tactic they use has to do with those that watch clips of Harry Potter online. While watching, a person can click on links to be taken straight to witchcraft sites. The witches are loving it. They will even admit Harry Potter has done more for them than anything in the history of witchcraft. Now, let me rip through some other online promoters of witchcraft, including step-by-step instructions. A prominent one is YouTube. We could literally spend years flipping through all the YouTube channels that promote witchcraft. And it's growing every day. Let me just give you a couple of them, starting with Spells 8. That channel is video after video, minutely detailing the instructions for every ritual or spell out there. It lists every tool with how-to instructions for performing witchcraft. And it is all free for anyone of any age to access anywhere in the world. Another very popular site is The Green Witch. There's a lot of witch celebrities online who are encouraging people to go down that route. Even older folks who have been in witchcraft for a long time have learned to promote it on YouTube. Here is the transcript of her welcoming video from her streaming site called House of Witchcraft.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the House of Witchcraft. I'm Taryn S., an old school witch that's been in the community for almost 40 years now. And this is my corner of the web. On my website, I hope you find articles that are inspiring and empowering. And on our YouTube channel, it is all things witchy and I really hope you check us out. Thanks so much. Hope you have a bright, blessed day.
I don't think so, witch lady. If you watch her video online, it's just a bit creepy, but that might just be me personally. We created Get a Life Media to give a godly counter to all this kind of promotion from occultists like these witches who are getting their message out in so many forms of media. As a ministry, we look for any possible way to electronically share the gospel. However, we have to remember all these can also be used by witches. Witches and the occult are doing the same networking while the vast majority of the church is keeping their mouths shut. Witches are riding their free pass wave and loving it. Where are the Christians? Who will counter these occult practices if the Christians won't? Where are the Christians who will warn people out of love for them? Well, praise God that at least we are. But where is everyone else? Maybe they are passing the inspiration cube, arguing over whether they should add more drums on stage and a new fog machine, or whether the overhead projector is working with the whole mood of the music. It's not a concern about whether they are missing a golden opportunity to use their media for electronically reaching people to warn them about these witches and other occultists that are sucking people into the dark arts. We need everyone to get busy on that while we still have the freedom to use God's word and the media to counter those destructive and eternally consequential practices. Besides YouTube and other video streaming channels like Rumble.com, the internet also has a ton of social media. The reach of social media has gotten massive and new companies are popping up every month. First, let's deal with a classic one, Facebook. If you have a Facebook account, just do a general search for witchcraft or Wicca and you will be scrolling through profiles for days. Still, that is what is going on today on websites like Facebook. And it is the same with Twitter. Just doing a quick search for Wicca or witchcraft on Twitter brings up Wiccan Academy, where you can learn practices like ritual purifications. And I'm telling you, with just a quick search, you or your children can scroll, and scroll, and scroll through witchcraft profiles for days. Social media provides a gargantuan sewage pipe for spreading Babylonia-conceived Wicca witchcraft here in the 21st century. Here is the latest more prominent social media site that a lot of young people are getting on today, and that is TikTok. Hey, the witches didn't wait around to get on there, so we Christians need to be doing the same. Our mentality needs to be that we should want to be right there with God's word whenever something new comes along. TikTok has become very popular in a short time, even though they were supposed to be banned in the US at one point. And after you see what goes on there, you'll know why it probably should be banned. TikTok actually has a witch talk channel that I'm going to give you a taste of. With this video transcript, pay attention to how these kids are instructing each other in witchcraft while parents don't even know what their own kids are putting out there on these smartphone apps and what they're watching. All these examples of witches are middle or high school children, who are putting their craft out there on TikTok for other children to learn from and do. School-age witches are giving each other explicit details on how to do witchcraft personally in school and out. Then at the end, notice what they are saying about the acts of Jesus. This is nuts.
Girl Witch 1. Everyone's been asking me for some easy spells, and when I made TikToks doing the spells, they got removed. So, I'm just going to tell you guys how to do them instead of actually performing it myself. So, what you're going to need is a marker, sticky notes, moon water, and 2 cups. At 3 a.m., you're going to take the 2 cups and, on one of the cups, you're going to write on the sticky note, what you have. And on the other cup, you're going to put the sticky that is what you want. And in the cup that is what you have, You're going to fill it with moon water and then you're going to pour into the cup that is what you want. And then you drink it. And that's all.
Girl Witch 2. Witchcraft to do's at school, moon water / crystal water in your water bottle.
Sigils on your classwork. Bless your food. Wear crystals.
Journal your day / write letters to your deity. Girl Witch showing tarot cards.
Movies that are witch themed / occult, witch.
Hereditary. Bell, book, and candle.
The Craft.
Eve's Bayou.
The Love Witch. Rosemary's Baby. Haxan. Black Sunday. The Pagan Queen. The Wicker Man.
Apostate.
Boy Witch with a Small Cauldron.
Having a Bad Day?
Watch this, black salt to keep away evil.
Dragon's Blood to increase potency of the spell.
Time to dispel negativity and grief. Rosemary to purify.
Lavender to uplift mood, dispel negative energy, and bring calm.
I cast it for you all, shows a heart.
Girl Witch 4. When people say it's impossible for me to be a Christian and a witch, I just have a couple of things to say about that. Immaculate Conception, witchcraft, rising from the dead, witchcraft, stars leading to a baby, witchcraft, gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold, witchcraft, walking on water, witchcraft, turning water into wine, witchcraft, healing people instantaneously, witchcraft.
How could someone even think that? Unfortunately, it is how our kids are being raised by secular society and away from biblically sound churches that teach all of God's word. I can't say for this young lady's upbringing, but she seems to have been taught in such a way that has caused her to denigrate the miracles of Jesus Christ, accusing him of being a sorcerer. Contextually, that's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. However, in order for that to fully be the offense, Jesus has to be in front of the person physically. At the time of the book of Matthew, he was. Back when Jesus walked this earth and did miracles, to his face people accused him of performing those under the power of Satan. Jesus replied that all would be forgiven except that accusation, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But it is one of the most abused passages of the Bible. Accusers want to claim things like, those who bowl are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, or you talked bad about that preacher, so you committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. No, that is not true. Read your Bible. Again, it is accusing Jesus of doing his miracles by the power of Satan. But technically you have physically got to be there in his face while claiming that. Still, it is the sort of thing that young lady was saying, and how does she get away with it? How could that even come out of someone's mouth? Well, I have got a theory that goes like this. You see, in the church today, nobody wants to hear what is in the Bible anymore. In fact, it is so much so that congregations will only hire a pastor to speak in their pulpit who will give fluffy fun messages like those found on the Inspirational Cube. Hey, we'll put you in that pulpit but don't say anything negative or we'll either get you fired or leave the church. And when I go, just know I'm taking my money with me. That's the kind of baloney that's going on in churches today, and that's why young girls can grow up in our society to accuse Jesus of doing his miracles through occult witchcraft. It is because the churches keep their mouths shut. Now, you've noticed that every chapter of both books on witchcraft had unique Bible passages that warned against witchcraft. They were easy to find because they are all over the Bible throughout the Old and New Testaments. What is God's central message in all of it? He tells us to never get involved with witchcraft or other occult practices. Those who practice that are called on the carpet because God knows it will lead them down a dark, demonic path. And since we are the ones getting equipped, it's our job to let those on that tragic trajectory know what they are in for. Ask them in love, how's that working for you? Social media and other media are not just helping this merge of Catholicism with the occult. Now they are even twisting Christianity and merging with Christianity like the Christian witches we saw earlier. The problem includes the facts that people are not being brought up to study the Bible and they never have anyone to warn them about witchcraft. At the same time, they have been taught that life is all about them so they should just do whatever feels good, moral relativism. All that opens people wide to fall for a false path being promoted in a massive way by Wicca through all these different areas of today's media. I haven't nearly covered them all. And I just scraped the surface, as far as the internet. In fact, I conducted a general online search for witchcraft and Wicca, the former came back with over 55 million results. And here is what's crazy, right after that Wicca actually came back with over 76 million hits. Why was Wicca almost 50% more? It is because the occult repackaged witchcraft with a new name that has made it more palatable. In fact, it's getting so bad that they're now allowing Wiccan ritual prayers in the government. Here is that from a news report.
The Iowa House of Representatives started the day, Thursday, with a controversial prayer by a Wiccan priestess, prompting some Christian leaders in the state to call for a prayer protest, calling it an unprecedented challenge to Iowa's spiritual life. This is the first time a Wiccan prayer has been performed at the legislature. Some lawmakers decided to skip the prayer while others stayed and silently protested by turning their backs to the prayer.
Hey, that's going to make a difference, right? Whenever a witch has the audacity to come into a government building and publicly give us their ritual witchcraft, just turn your back to them. That will do it, right? Just be sure that witch understands you may pull out the turned back maneuver on him or her. That will stop it quick, right? Wrong. And what was the so-called church's response? They warned that they would be forced to have a prayer protest. So, between a couple turned backs and someone throwing out a prayer in protest, I'm sure that witch will think twice before getting up there again. Actually, the witch got a free pass, so she's probably encouraged and will most likely do it again as soon as possible. Meanwhile, the church says nothing of substance. They don't even throw down some simple Bible passages, they certainly didn't take the time to teach what the Bible warns about that woman's witchcraft ways, they won't share how or why the Bible says it's wrong, they don't even attempt to have a rational discussion with the witch, and they won't warn the witch in love from the Bible. Instead, the approach is just to turn the back and say a prayer. I'm all for praying, but what about some effort? Are you kidding me? And you wonder why this stuff keeps growing and growing. How about speaking up when this kind of thing is being condoned in our society? How about letting people know their creator calls those witches' prayers an abomination? Why not say something like, hey, right here in this government facility right now, I need to warn everyone sitting with her that Deuteronomy 18 tells us not to imitate the detestable practices of the pagan nations, and it's why God took those nations out. It was because of their abominable witchcraft practices like sorcery and mediumship? Why can't we face that witch's prayer with information from God's word? Would that maybe sting a bit more than a turn back? The word of God is not only for encouragement but also to correct and rebuke. God corrects us for our own good. He rebukes us because he loves us. He sees dangerous paths we could go down, and God corrects that scary route. But instead of calling upon the helpful words from our Creator, the answer that seems more appropriate to these politicians is, hey, don't make me turn my back and pray. We will just get in the corner away from you and whisper. That will teach you. Another bothersome response to wicked behavior is this, hey, you are out of bounds now. You're leading us down the dark destructive path of witchcraft. So, do you know what we might do? We're thinking about protesting with a full 30 seconds of silence. Don't make us do it. Are you kidding me? People that need conviction of their sins certainly prefer 30 seconds of nothing, to a rebuke from the Word of God. That 30 seconds of silence has nothing negative for the offender, so, of course, they prefer it. But what they call negative, God really provides for our good. Do you see how twisted it has become? Yet, we wonder why witchcraft is on the rise. It is because the church is keeping their mouths shut and just passing the cube. And even when there is an easy opportunity to make a difference, good people also shut their mouths and turn their backs. God called it again with Revelation 9 when he told us how bad it would get in these last days with the silent church that allows witchcraft to be promoted and thrive. And by now you know where it's all going. Our world's people will end up in the 7-year tribulation where they will be inundated with God's judgment but still won't repent or give up worshiping demons that have them commit murders on a massive scale. 2,000 years ago God warned us about exactly what we are watching today, which means the 7-year tribulation is close and the rapture of the church is even closer. Folks, that Revelation Society is us. When we stir all this media promotion together, the potion they have created is going to explode the amount of witchcraft and other occult practices all around us. It is already happening now, but it's going to grow exponentially as we live through these last days. What do we need to be doing about it? We must finish strong. We certainly do not settle with shutting our mouths, turning our backs, or hitting them hard with 30 seconds of silence. We pray, but we don't just leave it at a prayer protest. I'm not against prayer, but we also must speak up. People need to know the dangers they face in the occult, so we need to preach the word, being a faithful church in season and out of season, whether the people like it or not. We continue presenting God's word through threats and deplatforming of our social media channels. We go through those walls, find another channel, and keep doing so until Christ takes us home. That is what we need to be doing because some will respond. They may not be getting it from their church anymore because 95% of them are playing the pleasant cube game, but we too can be out there speaking up electronically, as well as in our churches when they come into our midst and also individually when we're physically out in society doing the work of ministry. We can lead them to Christ, just like the story I want to give you of a young lady who had people love her enough to tell her the truth about Jesus. She not only got saved from them, but also notice how, early in childhood, she got involved in witchcraft because her home life was messed up and she was searching for answers. Here is the video transcript of Hunter's story and what influenced her to start going down the occult route.
Hunter Osborne. An 18-year-old, that was a friend of a family, sexually abused me. I was 9 at the time and so that, more than anything, really messed with me. Narrator. In addition to being sexually abused as a young girl, Hunter Osborne suffered physical and emotional abuse as well. Hunter. It was from things like my mom looking at me as being physically unattractive and saying, "I'm sorry that you were born with the ugly genes. I'm sorry your head is misshapen." My nickname was Ugly Smugly, by her. And she had a little song she would sing sometimes with it. When she would be angry, which was often, she would grab whatever was there and just hit us over the head. She got frustrated and would smack us. My self-image as a child was broken almost before life even got started. Narrator. Much of the abuse continued throughout her teen years. Hunter. I was struggling to find acceptance, someone just to love me, someone to prefer me. Narrator. She became curious about witchcraft because of the control it promised. Hunter. Growing up, we would watch shows on Disney Channel like The Worst Witch or Hocus Pocus. And I always loved these witches. It seemed innocent. It seemed fun. It seemed intriguing. It seemed so cool to have that kind of power. Narrator. Hunter practiced witchcraft for over 7 years. Hunter. I bought every book on witchcraft. I recognized I was a very spiritual person, who believed in a divine power. When you cast spells, it's just like saying a prayer and we believe that, as long as you don't harm anyone, do whatever you want. Narrator. She says her sexual activities began to take on a darker nature. Hunter. I was constantly with guys trying to search for that knight in shining armor, that rescuer, that guy who was going to be the one. I constantly cohabitated with anyone that I was with. I believed that, in order to truly understand who I am spiritually, I need to be sexually free. That began a very dark period. Narrator. That period culminated one unnerving weekend in Chicago. Hunter. The summer of 2005, we were at a hotel room and I was in bed by myself, but I suddenly became very aware of a very dark presence. I was paralyzed and I just knew, if I pulled down my covers, I would see a dark image above me. I was just so afraid. But eventually I broke free of that paralysis and I pulled down the covers and nothing was there. But it rocked me. It was so scary. Narrator. The encounter made Hunter question her lifestyle. Then she took a job at a local bookstore. Hunter. All the women at this bookstore were all believers, fierce, godly women, and I was very loud and proud about my witchcraft. Because I was so vocal about it, this one particular older woman, she knew exactly how to meet me where I was at. She started speaking the love of God to me. We would have these little discussions, and she would keep pointing me to scripture. Narrator. Over time, Hunter's heart began to change. Hunter. I mean, God was just prompting. They kept referring to Jesus. I had heard that this one church in our community was huge. And I knew if I went, nobody would notice me. Narrator. Hunter began attending this church and was later invited to a Bible study. Hunter. I did not know the biblical God. I didn't know who he was. But the Bible talks about how, they bowed down and worshipped and things were made, creature versus creator. That definitely penetrated my heart of witchcraft. Narrator. During a conversation with the pastor, Hunter realized her need for Christ. Hunter. I know that God pulled back the veil of who he was. I saw sin for what it was, and I saw it in my life and recognized the depravity and the depth of my sins and the bondage of my sin. But I did also hear the good news of Jesus. And the pastor explained to me that salvation comes through faith alone, through Christ alone and believing in him. And that very moment I believed. Narrator. Hunter accepted Christ and began to mature in her faith. Hunter. I bought myself a Bible. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know Him more. Everything that I possibly could do, I wanted to be of Christ. I had lived such a dark life. I didn't want that life anymore. I was done with that life. It was not going anywhere. It was on a very fast track to a dark place. I knew I still wanted to be married, but it was different. I did not have a desire to pursue men anymore. I knew that, if God wanted me to be married, He would bring to me a godly man who loved Him. Narrator. God did bless Hunter with a godly husband, Chad, who is a pastor, and 4 beautiful children. Hunter. The only man I wanted to have my heart was Christ's heart.
Jesus is that knight in shining armor that I was looking for. As soon as He revealed Himself to me, the truth of who He was, I knew that I was satisfied, my soul was justified.
All the emptiness of my heart, the hole in my heart, He filled.
How did she find that out and have her life completely transformed for the better? Someone loved her enough to speak up about her need for Christ. They didn't pass her the inspirational cube from Joel Osteen. They spoke up from God's word and, to this day, she's been set free. That's what we need to do. That is how we need to finish. We need to be a part of the solution instead of contributing to the unfolding prophetic problem that is happening here in our day, in these last days. We will all stand before God to answer for what we chose to do at this time. Amen.